Hi, and welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. On today's show, will the Eagles regret calling the Cowboys chokers? Plus, Michael Rappaport joins the show to talk the NFC East, the Warriors trolling the Cavs, and plenty more. And is a Super Bowl winning coach primed to take over in Green Bay? Skip Shannon. Let's get to it.
The Cowboys host the Eagles in a huge NFC East matchup Sunday on Fox. Dallas is riding high on a four-game winning streak, and the Eagles are one game behind. This is already an intense rivalry, but yesterday, Eagles linebacker Kamu Grugier-Hill decided to give the Cowboys some bulletin board material. Take a listen.
I mean, look at Dallas' history. They always choke, so we'll go down there and make them choke.
Shannon?
Ooh, that hurt. Ooh, that hurt, huh, Skip? Ooh, that hurt. Ooh.
Is this a big deal or no big deal?
I was always choked. Talk about your Cowboys. Team that you love.
Do they?
Your childhood.
Yeah,
they've been choking that long, huh? It's not a big deal because he didn't lie. The Cowboys will make it a big deal. If I'm Jason Garrett, Skip, I go and I tell my team, we can bury this team. We can end their season Sunday afternoon at 4:25. And anytime you get an opportunity to bury a team, because, hey, you don't want to give them life. Who knows? They might potentially beat you and then go on a hot streak, and they end up keeping you out of the playoffs. So if you get an opportunity to bury a team, you throw dirt on them, you make sure they're dead. And I believe that's what Jason Garrett's going to do. Now, what this young man did is that he wrote a check that his teammates are going to have to cash. Okay, we're going to find out. Now, I would have preferred Malcolm Jenkins, Fletcher Cox, Carson Wentz, someone of more well-known. Normally, guys that do the talking, like DeMarcus Lawrence, says he's going to choke the you-know-what out of those offensive linemen for New Orleans. We know who DeMarcus Lawrence is. I don't want to hear that from Jeff Heath. I don't want to hear this from this young man, but hey, he said it. Now he has to go out there and back it up. A rivalry game, Skip, you know, look, whether you talk a little or you talk a lot, you're still going to have to play the game. But he didn't lie. Where's the lie in the statement, Skip Bayless? Where's the lie where he said the Cowboys choked?
My turn?
No lie spoken.
Huh?
No lie detected.
No lie detected?
No lie detected.
Really?
Nope.
So, my turn.
It's your turn.
So, before last night, the only Camus I knew was Albert Camus, who was the French philosopher who wrote The Plague, which I read my freshman year at Vanderbilt. Good book. I recommend it. I'm sure you've read it numerous times.
No.
Albert Camus. And this Camus, I wasn't even aware of this Camus. So, to your point, if somebody of note, if Brandon Graham had said this, I would say it's a big deal. I hope it's a huge deal to the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
I hope it gets their attention, and I hope they do put it on their bulletin board, and I hope it re-inspires them against an Eagles team they already beat in Philadelphia,
right.
Just for the record. I don't know. So if we do historical, I don't know what this Camus knows about choking in the Dallas Cowboys, but you realize my Cowboys have gone Tom Brady in Super Bowls. They've won 5 out of 8. Brady, 5 out of 8. Dallas, 5 out of 8. So just like
ain't nobody talking about no regular season game. They choke when it matters.
Yeah,
no, ain't no pressure right now.
Talking about Super Bowls, 5 out of 8 in their history. So if they always choke, do they choke in those Super Bowls? Now, they are, like Brady, the most hated in America.
Skip,
so
why do you do that?
What do you mean? Well, he said it. I didn't say it. You said that's no lie in that. Well, again, they've won 5 Super Bowls. Do they choke in those Super Bowls?
What,
they always choke. That's the statement you said is not a lie.
In the regular Skip.
Okay.
In the regular season.
In the regular season?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because
well,
we've seen so many times that the Cowboys are going to make the playoffs like you thought last year.
Okay. So let's just do the Dak era.
Okay.
Okay. Do they choke in the Dak era?
Yep.
Well, Dak's rookie year, the first time he played Carson Wentz, they played at Jerry World. Remember
no
that
pressure.
Game?
No. What he's talking about in the playoff game. Did he choke against Aaron Rodgers in the pack? Yeah, they had home field. They were the best team.
Did he choke?
Yeah, they choked. Cowboys.
Time out. Dak Prescott was down 21-3 and brought them all the way back to 31-all by throwing for 300-plus and 3 touchdowns.
Why are you down
is that
to
a
team
choke?
That you beat by 16 at
but,
their
But help
place?
Me out. Is that a choke?
Yes.
It's not a choke.
Skip, you were the
it
number
one. It was 31-31.
Skip, you were the number one seed. Why are you tied in a ball game with a team you went to their building and beat them by 15? Why are you tied?
Was Dak Prescott playing defense when it was like 3rd and 30? Wait a second. It was 3rd and 30. 30 or 3rd and 23, I don't know what it was. And all of a sudden, Rod Marinelli, what do you got? Did you lose your henny or what did you?
No, I got it.
Okay. So remember, it's 3rd and forever. And and Rod Marinelli calls a prevent defense that puts five DBs back on the 20-yard line, and Aaron Rodgers plays pitch and catch with Jared Cook that sets up a 51-yard field goal, which is duck hooked to the left and mysteriously sort of starts to fade back to the right. I don't know how. I've never seen a football do that before.
It made it
just inside the left upright to win the game.
My question
is, is that a choke?
Why would Rod Marinelli need to call a prevent? You had gone to Lambeau early in the year and walked the dog with the Packers.
Yeah.
This is what this young man means by choking.
Yeah.
When the rubber needs to meet the road,
by the way,
somehow you come up with a flat tire.
Dak Prescott has beaten the dog out of Aaron Rodgers every time he's played.
No, he has not.
Yes, he has. I can just show you the numbers. The stats.
What about the no, we don't do stats.
I don't know.
Stats are for losers. W's and L's. That's
okay,
what I do.
So let's look at W's and L's, Dak versus the Eagles, and just his little career.
Okay.
It's still a little career so far. Well, obviously, they've played two season-ending games in 2016 and 2017 that didn't matter to one of the teams.
Right.
First one didn't matter to Dallas. Last year didn't matter to Philadelphia. Each had clinched. So we throw those games out.
Okay.
Okay, so what happened the first time they played? I think it was a Monday night game at Jerry World.
Yeah.
And by the way, I don't know how Dak did this, but he, with a couple of minutes left in the game, he hit Dez Bryant with a 22-yard pass that tied the score. Is that choking? I don't know. It forced overtime.
Right.
And then in overtime, would you believe that Dak Prescott threw the game-winning touchdown pass to the guy who's now in ESPN's Monday night booth?
Yes.
Jason Witten, do you remember this?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty sweet. That's a choke. Oh, that's a choke job. Choke job, but I don't know how he choked, but they won.
Okay,
they won the game in overtime.
Oh, you did.
So they won that game.
Okay,
and then last year, he lost at Philadelphia without Ezekiel Elliott. And by the way, Zeke in his career against Philly, if we throw out the two season enders, is 2-0 against Philadelphia.
No, Skip.
2-0.
Skip, they walked the dog on you in your building last year.
Zeke didn't play.
They got nothing to do with it. Dak played.
Okay, well, I'm just saying. Sean Lee didn't play, and
Wait a minute.
I'm saying again, Zeke versus Camus is 2-0.
No.
Yes.
We're talking about the Cowboys.
Oh.
Was the Cowboys playing the Eagles? Mm. See, I see what you're trying to do.
Mm.
See, when they choke Jenny, what he tries to do, he tries to make it a one-on-one battle.
Mm.
Oh, it's Zeke against Camus. It's this guy. No. It's Eagles versus the Cowboys.
Okay.
And what we've seen is that come playoff, you're number one seed, you get the dog walked on you in the division. We see what happens.
Divisionals?
Yeah.
Get the dog walked on you?
You're the
luckiest field goal I've ever seen?
Why would you do that?
Did they get blown out?
No.
Help me out. Maybe you remember a different game.
Well, how do
I remember 34-31 Aaron Rodgers by luck.
I'm trying to
figure out. By luck.
Skip, did you not early in the year go to Lambeau and walk the dog on the Packers by 15? Why would we even need a lucky field goal to beat you?
I don't know.
Because you choked.
Mm.
Okay, let's come on. Fast forward.
Let's fast forward.
Sunday night last year.
Okay.
At your place.
Okay.
What happened?
There's no Zeke and no Sean Lee. Well, there's just not. They were a disaster. You know it. They were already. That's not a choke. That's just a disaster. Choke? It was 37-9. How can you choke 37-9?
I'm good with the Heimlich.
Okay.
You need me to save him?
So help me out. Can you do the Heimlich for the Eagles, your Eagles, and Carson W-I-N-C-E
this year
at Philadelphia?
The Super Bowl champs?
It was just a few weeks ago.
The Super Bowl champs?
No, you told me you have to update your resume.
Ah!
Yeah.
Well, when y'all going to update y'all resume? Because you're 23 years
old. What happened in that game? Can I help you out here?
Yes.
Because that game was 20-20 in the fourth quarter, and all of a sudden, Dak Prescott did what he does.
What'd he do?
8 plays, 75 yards, and it got down to 3rd and 8 at the Eagles' 32. Can we see that play, please? 3rd and 8 at the Eagles' 32-yard line. This is for the money. This is choke or don't choke. Here we go. Dak drops back. Zing! Oh, that's Allen Hurns. He is loose for the biggest play of the game that sets up a Zeke short run for a touchdown. And Dallas won that game 27-20 over the reigning
Super
Bowl.
And you know why? Yes. You know why? Here's the thing, though.
Interesting.
Guess what
did
happened?
Camus play that night?
Yes,
I think he did.
If you don't mind me.
I don't know. Who is Camus?
I know another William Camus Bell. He's on a show. He won an Emmy. But that's neither here nor there. But Skip, if you don't mind me asking, prior to them playing the Eagles, what had the Cowboys done in the past two games?
I don't care. They've won 4 in a row.
They had lost. There's no pressure, Jenny. This is what he means by choke. See, you can't choke if there isn't pressure on you.
Really?
Now we're going to see moving forward.
We are. And with all the pressure of the world on them in 2016 when they were healthy,
Choke first round.
They went 13-3. It was 31 all against the great Aaron Rodgers.
And the divisionals, because we've seen it again, Skip. Guess what? Remember in 2014, had a good old team. Oh, led the league in rushing with DeMarco Murray. Mm-hmm. Dez Bryant was thought of, and he and Julio were the best receivers.
Yeah.
Tony Romo finished second in the MVP and went to Lambeau Field and laid an egg.
They got robbed.
No, they did not.
Everybody thinks it, except you. You're the only one in the known world who thinks they didn't get robbed.
You think that because you're a Cowboy fan.
I don't think it. I'm just a football fan who watched Dez Bryant catch the ball. He caught the ball. He actually changed hands because he's left-handed. He took three steps and dived for the end zone and tried to hammer the ball across the goal line like a running back would do, and it was a touchdown.
Nope.
It was a touchdown, and the ref standing right on the spot.
Look at that bobble. Look at that bobble.
One, two. He's got the ball in the left hand. And guess what? Guess what my little favorite referee right there did? He raised his hands.
Yeah, he did.
Touchdown.
But to Mike McCarthy's credit,
over.
He challenged it.
Yeah.
Upon further review, the receiver throughout the entirety of the catch failed to maintain possession of the football.
You know what?
First down, Green Bay.
What happened was Jerry Jones got New York.
Skip, don't do that.
By somebody upstairs in New York said, you cannot let Jerry Jones win this game.
Skip, don't do
that. Because they're going to go to Seattle where they had already won in the regular season.
Oh!
And the NFC Championship game would have belonged to Dallas.
So let me get this right.
Dallas to the Super Bowl.
So let me get this right.
Yep.
You were going to go to Seattle where you had already won.
Yep.
But you couldn't beat Green Bay, who you had already gone to their building and beaten them. Mm-hmm. So what I'm missing, Skip?
Well, they should have beaten them.
No, they should not.
They scored 31 points on Green Bay. Well, that should have been enough.
Well, no.
Yep.
No. In order to win the game, you have to have more than the other team.
Choking is when you fumble, you throw interceptions. That didn't happen.
Well, like Tony Romo, when they had a field goal lined up to kick the game-winning field goal in Seattle, and he fumbled a snap. Okay. Was that choking?
That was forever ago.
Did it happen?
Yeah.
That was your Cowboys.
Okay, but that was Tony and we always know he was capable of
You remember, Skip? Remember he throws for 507 yards?
Yeah, against your
Broncos. Happened, Skip?
Yeah,
506. He was perfect that day.
Yeah.
Dealing.
Yep.
When the rubber needed to meet the road,
he threw it to Orange.
Yep.
Yep.
So that's what he's talking about. That's what this young man's talking about, Skip.
Yep.
You always try to go back to the Super Bowl. That was ancient. I told you. You don't want to update that resume.
Five out of eight Super Bowls? Is that choking?
Who's the last
By the way, you know who the all-time chokers in pro football are? The Eagles. I don't even know if I can give them enough respect and relevance to call them chokers because they are the perennial doormats of this division. You know it and I know it because while Dallas has won five out of eight Super Bowls, the Eagles have won one. They've only played in one, but they won it. And I give them credit just because Bill Belichick benched Malcolm Butler or doghoused him or whatever he did.
Skip, stop.
That's what happened.
No, it's not what happened.
And so they scored 41 on Bill Belichick. I give you that. Way to go.
The last time the Cowboys won the Super
Bowl. Camus, he probably had 39 tackles in that game.
You know what?
Right?
Jenny, the last time the Cowboys won the Super Bowl,
Jenny
had pigtails with barrettes in them and patent leather shoes.
She still has
patent leather shoes.
Yeah, that's how long ago it been, Jenny. Yep.
Well, since we're updating resumes, the Cowboys are looking to sweep the Eagles in this series. And
sweep?
That hasn't happened since 2012.
Wow.
Since 2012.
It ain't going to happen.
Wow, interesting. Camus. Way to go, Camus.
You keep on talking.
Fuel in the fire. Yeah. Do? No? Later?
Oh, I got dew on it.
Nope.
I'm good.
Nope.
Oh, you didn't see.
Okay, he's not going to take it right now.
Spit it out.
We got the rest of the show. We'll see. No mercy. How about this? First place is on the line in the NFC East on Sunday when the Cowboys host the Eagles on Fox. Dallas has won four straight, including a win in Philadelphia last month. The last time Dallas won five in a row was Dak's rookie year when they won 11 straight. Mm. We are now joined by the host of the I Am Rappaport Stereo podcast, Michael Rappaport.
Good
to have you back with us.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for having me.
So, do you trust the Cowboys to win the division starting here?
Now, this game on Sunday, which I'm looking forward to watching, for me, a New York Giants fan, for me, this is the battle of the deplorables. I obviously can't stand the Dallas Cowboys historically, and I can't stand the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, I love Rocky Balboa, Darryl Dawkins, Allen Iverson, the sound of Philadelphia. Lane Johnson, you turned me off last year when you said, I'd rather play and have fun than play for the Patriots. It seems like you guys had a lot of fun after you won the Super Bowl, and you're finally getting it together. That being said, The Dallas Cowboys will win this game on Sunday.
Uh-huh.
And they will win this division. The Eagles schedule, they have the Cowboys, they're going to lose that. The Rams, they're definitely going to lose that. The Texans is going to be tough.
I don't know.
And the Redskins, whatever's left of them, it'll be done by then. So, unfortunately, again, this is the battle of the deplorables for me.
Yep.
I am going for the Dallas Cowboys to win the division.
Go we have a it. Touchdown.
Oh,
go
wow.
ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
We have a first.
Go ahead and pile
no,
on.
No, but there's no piling on to do. He just said it all. It's just cut and dried. It's case closed. It is over.
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 Go ahead. Go ahead. Pile on.
Did you even see Creed 2, Mr. Philadelphia?
I have seen Creed.
Okay. Yeah. It's over.
Go ahead. Go ahead. I mean, you all happy.
Dak Prescott's play. I mean, he was dead. Didn't you bury him? You buried him. I buried him. I wanted him, but he's
and alive.
He's alive. Flinging. The defense is alive. Ezekiel Elliott is playing. They're going to beat the what is this? How is this even your team? They're going to beat the Philadelphia Eagles. Listen, I'll never get over the fact that those fans, and I love the people of Philly, they threw snowballs at Santa Claus.
He deserved it.
They threw snowballs at Santa Claus. I can't root for that team. Okay?
Unfortunately. Like
now your team, the bandwagon, you still have one foot or maybe one toe on the Philadelphia Eagles. Have come to this. They have to resort to somebody named Camus calling the Cowboys chokers. Yeah. It came to that. I didn't even know who he was until last night.
Did he lie?
He lied through his teeth.
He didn't lie.
Yeah.
He didn't lie about that.
When have they ever choked? When?
Dak's rookie year.
Huh?
Dak's rookie year.
That wasn't a choke. He threw for 300 yards and three touchdowns. They lost 34-31.
They were the number one team. Aaron Rodgers, that was a wild card.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, but it was
Tony Romo,
the greatest thrower of the football ever, right?
Tony Romo
choked and choked and choked some more. I'll give you that. But they've only won 5 out of 8 Super Bowls, and the Eagles have won what? 1 for 1?
No, 1 out of 3.
They're not even – they don't even merit choking label in Philadelphia because they're just the doormat.
They won the
perennial doormat.
That was a Super Bowl.
In 1960? Yeah, the Knicks won the championship in 73.
That was the NFL championship.
Well,
it was the equivalent, but it wasn't a Super Bowl. So that's it. That's all you got.
It's over.
You're doormats.
Doormats.
What is wrong with you?
You played like doormats when you went to New Orleans. You lost 48-7.
You see.
And I was wincing Carson Wentz.
This is what bothers me about Cowboys fans. Mm-hmm. Now, this same guy, he threw his jersey, his Dak Prescott jersey, in the trash can when they lost to Tennessee.
I saw that.
The week before, they lost another game. Now, they start riding pretty good. And my car's work, you know, it's not up to par. You know, it's a little, you know, sometimes the battery works and sometimes it doesn't. I can just jump off every once in a while. Now he's sitting pretty. He want to pound his chair. Oh, yeah. Well, how do you like me now?
Mm-hmm. They've been through the fire.
Well, how do you like me now?
Okay.
That's a good question.
You and your front runner.
I'm not front running. You got a shot. You got a shot.
You guys will get exactly what you've been looking for.
Yeah.
And guess what? The Eagles going to win this game on Sunday.
Really?
Yeah.
How's he front running? The team, they're 7-5. It's an embarrassment to the entire division.
Because they won 4 in a row.
Yeah.
And he's feeling good about himself.
So the Tennessee game on Monday night was the lowest moment of my Cowboy rooting career. It was just deplorable, despicable, disgusting. And I threw my jersey in the trash, but I retrieved it after my team went to Philadelphia and won against a team that you thought was going to run away with this
and
division.
You lost the game. You lost the week before to Washington. Remember that one? When you say they were robbed.
Well, they were robbed.
They were not.
It was the most bogus false start penalty I've ever seen on the snapper.
What about your quarterback? How did he play?
He made one big mistake, and then he threw for 120 yards in the fourth quarter at Washington and was an ultimate warrior.
And
he had
180 for the game. So what happened the other three quarters? You say you like, come on.
He put him in position to get to overtime, and we got some bogus penalty.
No, you didn't.
That pushes 5 yards back on the kick, and it hit the left upright.
You lost.
We're good now because we won 4 in a row. And we kicked the Eagles' golden tails up in Philadelphia,
right? See how you're bragging?
Did we not?
You see how you're bragging?
Did we
Jerry's
not?
World, baby.
You're going to get exactly what you're looking
did
for on Sunday.
Did that choke in Philadelphia?
Nope.
Was Camus even on the field that day?
Oh. Albert Camus. His name's
Camus.
You see?
Was he out there?
Now you want to single out this guy.
He brought it on himself.
He did. I would have preferred Malcolm Jenkins or Fletcher Cox make that statement, but they didn't.
So Carson Wentz and Brandon Graham and Fletcher Cox have to send Camu to speak
Cam who?
Yeah.
No, really, he's got to go carry their water for him? Really?
Okay.
Come on.
That means he
got
a back. Well, he wrote a check that Fletcher Cox and walking to him got a cash for.
Yeah, he wrote a check for 10 cents because he's some backup linebacker.
Now, he's starting now.
When DeMarcus Lawrence Taylor spoke before the New Orleans game, he said, we're going to shut their mouth and we're going to choke them out. And I'm leaving out all the Jenny words there.
Yeah,
the Jenny words.
You got a potty mouth.
Handle it later. Watch out.
Yeah. I'm letting you.
Only every couple days.
Yeah.
Well, your mama proud of the words you used?
Yeah, she addressed it. She addressed it, but we're okay.
But when DeMarcus Lawrence Taylor, you know, that when he speaks, you listen.
Well, normally
he's
different.
Simply the best defensive player on the best defense in football, Dallas Cowboys.
Well, Van Der Esch was playing pretty good. He's the third-rated linebacker in all of football behind Bobby Wagner and Luke Kuechly. But that's neither here nor there. Skip.
I think it's here.
No. Look, I would prefer the guys that the known guys do the talking.
Mm-hmm. They're having too much fun.
But I like the Eagles in this role because you know what happens when they get in a more underdog role.
Mm-hmm. They're going to wear their mask.
Oh, yeah. Old Lane. I'm going to see what DeMarcus Lawrence is going to do with old Lane Johnson.
Yeah.
Because you know Lane Johnson.
Mm. Yeah. Really?
Put that claw right in the throat.
Yeah. I don't think he's going to do that in this
game. You think he gets a sack? You think Lane Johnson is going to give up a sack to DeMarcus
Lawrence? For sure. For sure. He'll touch him. He'll touch him real nice. Oh.
Nah.
He'll touch him.
Old Lane ain't giving up jack.
All I know is that Dallas is going to win this game because Dallas is taken off.
Okay, well, give
you
me
see it every year. Some
I'm glad you said that. Well, I need them four. Yeah. I need them 4 points.
Nope. They're not four. It's 3.5.
Okay, well, give me 3.5.
Mm-mm.
What do you mean,
Because you're the one who's talking big and tough and bold about your
You're at home in your favorite.
You're the defending Super Bowl champs.
Yeah. No.
Wait, who's got the best quarterback in the division?
Who has the best defense in the division?
I don't know. It should be you guys.
It should be you guys. Skip Bayless, you going to sit right there talking about you don't know. You're the second-rate defense in all of football.
Well, who's got the best front seven in the division? It should be you.
Cowboys.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Skip.
Huh? Who's got the best receiving core in the division? It's not even close. It's your team.
The Giants.
Yeah, I agree.
The Giants got the best receiving core, but they're terrible.
But they're not living up to it.
Speaking of the Giants, they're going to go back to Eli again?
Benedict Arnold.
Really?
No.
Huh?
Yes. Well, listen. Unless they make a trade for a quarterback, we're going to start the season with Eli.
I'm not going to finish the season again.
No. Listen, I am not going to sit here and do what I did last year with McAdoo the wackadoo when he tried to bench Eli. That being said, the job will be up for grabs. I don't know who will be competing with Eli Manning.
Kyle LaLetta.
I don't know anything about him. All I know is that at this point, the job will be up for grabs. And that's the way it has to work out.
It looks like me, Ben McAdoo, was ahead of the curve. He saw what was coming. Have you seen Eli play this year? I'm not talking about those games here or there. I'm talking about the totality of the season.
Yeah, Ben McAdoo, the wackadoo, he didn't have any protection for Eli Manning last year, and it started off really bad this year. I don't care who you are. You can't throw the ball in 1 second.
Is he getting protection now?
Listen,
how are you looking?
We're not out of the division. We could still go for 8-8, but that's a whole other thing. That's a matter of
fact. Are you really
claiming
that?
I'm just saying. The point is that you can't blame Eli. And if at this point, I think Eli, if he had a better replacement, he would say, go ahead and do it. But that's next season.
He would?
At this point?
If there's a guy. You know why?
Derek Carr might come.
It's delusional Giants fans like you that keep holding on to those two Super Bowls that Eli won many, many years ago.
Two Super Bowls.
How long ago has that been?
It don't matter. Them rings are nice.
You in your 30s.
We polish them up.
You in your 30s when the Giants last won a Super Bowl.
Listen to me.
Yeah.
Listen to me, man. I said on this show in the beginning of the season, I know the Giants were going to have a tough time. Saquon, I also said that Saquon was the right guy to go to. The Odell kickoff. Listen, I'm woke as far as being a Giants fan. I'm not sleeping. I'm awoke. And I just sit here. You know what, Shannon? You skip for you to sit there and shake your head at me. I just backed you up with the Dallas Cowboys. You know how against every fiber in my body that was? And you're sitting there. Now you're turning on me.
Yeah, but you just picked the lesser of two evils. That's what you just said. How can I embrace that?
I said that. But I had your back. But then you just turn on me in the drop. Like, you're
doesn't take long.
I'm glad he turned on you. No mercy.
Well, the Packers will be looking for a new head coach this offseason after firing Mike McCarthy. And one of the names that has come up is Mike Shanahan. Shanahan won 2 Super Bowls as a head coach with Shannon in Denver, but he is 66 years old and hasn't coached since 2013. His son, 49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan, said yesterday, quote, "You'd have to convince him to come out of retirement. I think that window has passed." We're joined by D'Angelo Hall, who was coached by Shanahan for 4 years in Washington. Yep. So you guys both have a lot of experience with Shanahan. Shannon,
yes.
I will start with you.
Okay.
What do you think? Would you see him taking this job? Could it be a good fit?
I think he'd definitely listen if they were to give him a call. I don't think he would solicit it. He comes with instant credibility. He's won championships. And when you've coached Joe Montana, Steve Young, and John Elway, nothing else really needs to be said. I think he garners Aaron Rodgers' ultimate respect, ultimate attention. Mm-hmm. He walks into the building. I think the only reservation he would have, Kyle coaches in the NFC. Hmm. If this was an AFC job, quarterback of
that's
Aaron Rodgers,
point.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cachet, mm-hmm. I think Mike would be very, very interesting. Huh. So this is my only reservation about him taking this job. His son is in the NFC. But if they were to call, do I think he would listen? Sure. Hmm. Do I think he would take it? Probably not.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't think, excuse me, I don't think Mike Shanahan takes this job either. That Kyle effect definitely has something to do with it. But I don't think they're willing to give him the power that I think he deserves. And
he's gonna want.
He has that credibility of saying, hey, I want to run the whole organization as far as I want to make all the personnel decisions. I want to
Final 53,
obviously. And obviously, you know, coach this team. Mm-hmm. Mike Shanahan is a hell of a football coach. When I first was introduced to Mike, I kind of didn't know what to expect because, like you said, he does have such a long resume of having coached great players. But what makes Mike Shanahan, I think, different than a lot of other coaches, especially a lot of other older coaches, I feel like he's evolved with the time. And I think some of that has to do with having a son in Kyle Shanahan who's always around the game. Mike's at his practices and things. And so he's just able to, you know, kind of how Pete Carroll gets that stigma of being such a
player's coach,
a young-minded coach. Mm-hmm. Mike's tough and he's hard and he wants things done his way, but he doesn't have a problem communicating with you how to get that done. And, I mean, I love Coach Shanahan to death. I think he would succeed there. But I just think when you're away from the game, it kind of doesn't mean as much to you. You know, he's spending a lot more time with his family. He's able to go to Kyle's games, support his sons, you know, be around his grandkids, spend more time at home. And I know having retired, like, I enjoy that. And I'm sure Mike enjoys that. And so it has to be the perfect scenario or situation for him to, I think, take a step back from being around his family as much as he is now to get back into coaching.
So you're describing, Coach, both of you, that you loved, but you still feared, right?
Oh, absolutely.
See, I don't know if the Legion of Boom feared Pete Carroll after a while. Yeah, I don't think they did, right?
They didn't.
Mike was cut from a different cloth. You knew.
Yeah.
That joker started turning red. He talking, he turned red. Like, okay.
Yeah. He was a guy you did not want to get on his bad side.
No. Okay.
And I was a guy who didn't mind. Hey, I'm marching to the beat of my own drum.
You were.
But I tell you what, when Mike stepped in the room, it was instant respect that he garnered from us. Hmm. I remember Shannon even came in and spoke to our team one off season. Hmm. And just knowing that Mike still has players like Shannon Sharp that would come back and speak to us, it lets you know that the players respected Coach Shanahan. And in kind, we did too as current players.
Did you have a bad year the next year after he spoke?
No, they went to the playoffs. They should have said, that was RG3's rookie year.
Was it?
Yep.
7 and in a row.
Mike, inspired him.
You know, Mike got a beach home in Cabo.
Although you guys got off to a terrible start.
Yeah, 3-6.
And I'm going down there.
You're vacation. Going down there?
He got a vacation home in Cabo. Told me I can get it anytime I like.
But he doesn't want to be there when you're there.
No, he can't be there when I'm there. Because, you know, that ain't going to be part-time.
I don't know about that.
Hey, Coach told me the same thing. All right?
Same thing.
So, just for the record, this is the 5th year in a row that Mike has not coached.
Yes.
His last year was 2013 with the Redskins. So, that's a ways out.
Time.
But to your point, he still can evolve because he's close to Kyle.
Right.
And he's been helping with personnel decisions. So, it's not like he's unplugged completely from the game of football. Mm-hmm. So, I would think this would be an inspired choice. But I did take the liberty, because I've known Mike not as long as you, but for a while. So I just texted him this morning just to see what he would say. Would you have any interest? And he just wrote right back, no, thank you. Okay. So I'm going to, I don't know. Does that mean if they called, he wouldn't listen?
Well, if he said no, thank you, and no.
Yeah.
I guess so. But of all the coaching names that I've heard, would he be the best fit for Aaron Rodgers? I'm pretty sure he would be.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Would I wish Aaron on Mike? Because I think Aaron's hard. I think LeBron is hard, but they're both great. They have greatness about them, but they're hard. They have issues a week. They have drama around them. Mm-hmm. And Aaron has had his own way in that franchise for a long time, and he realizes there's no owner above him.
Right.
It's just Mark Murphy who's come back now to be the CEO. So, and to your point, would Mike have absolute power? He would not.
No.
So all those things would work against him succeeding with Aaron Rodgers. But what does Mike have to prove?
Nothing.
Nothing.
And I think the thing is, Skip, look at what he ran in Denver when you had John Elway. And then you get a guy like Jake Plummer and you go to the AFC Championship game. And then you get a guy totally different than both of those in RG3. And you win 10 games, win the division. So it just shows you that, as D. Hall said, he's very adaptable. Mm-hmm. He's very adaptable. Because he had to put a system in.
What he did with Robert that first year, that was special.
Yes.
Yeah. That was, because he junked everything he knew.
Everything.
Everything. I think they went to Baylor, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, he did.
And said, okay, we got to do this for this. And you got off to the rocky start.
And see, that goes to my point of what makes Mike Shanahan such a great coach. To know you have 2 Super Bowl rings and still go to a college coach's campus and sit there and sit down, listen to everything he has to say, figure out what's going to make this player succeed. Not necessarily what I do great. This is what I do as a play caller.
Yep.
No, it's not about me. It's about the player that I'm trying to help develop and cultivate.
And that player became Offensive Rookie of the Year that year.
Yeah, that's the difference. Remember, Hugh Jackson saw in that very seat, and I asked him, did you go to Oklahoma, and you sit down with Lincoln Riley, what do you say? Well, our film crew, they do a great job of putting things together, and I can see every throw. Then what I asked him. Mike Shanahan, you don't think Washington has a film crew, Skip, that can do cut-ups and have Mike take a look at every throw that Baker made? Mm-hmm. No, but to go down there and talk to the head coach and says, okay, what does Robert do really well? And in this situation, that's different. Mm-hmm. Therein lies the difference between the two.
Okay. So if Mike did take over Aaron Rodgers and company, it's not like Aaron hasn't won a Super Bowl before, because it was a long time ago, but he did win a Super Bowl. So Mike couldn't say, I'm going to go in there and help Aaron win his first Super Bowl.
Well, he already won another one.
Yeah. Okay.
So what does Aaron say? Okay, Aaron, I coached Joe Montana. He has 4-3 MVPs. I coach Steve Young. He has a Super Bowl, 2 MVPs. Mm-hmm. I coach John Elway, 2 Super Bowls and an MVP. Okay, and you have what? 1 and 2. Okay, when last time you been to the playoffs?
Yeah.
Oh, that long?
Yeah.
Are you sure you don't need me?
And Mike's a great communicator.
I think
he gets lost in the sauce. He's a great communicator.
Yeah.
Like I said, I was a knucklehead, and I didn't want to talk to nobody. I didn't feel like
you were
I was my own person. Yeah,
he was kind of knucklehead.
And having Mike come in and just deliver some of those messages the way he delivered them to me, and coming to me and not caring what everyone else thought about me in that building or the stigma around who I was as a player. And I'm by no means compared to Aaron Rodgers as far as lore. And so I just think Mike Shanahan's ability to communicate with his players, and especially a guy like Aaron Rodgers, I think he'll be able to get everything out of Aaron.
Now
Aaron would ultimately respect the hell out of Mike.
He will hold you accountable.
Yes, he will.
Was the essence of a tweet that got the assistant head coach fired.
But the greatest thing he ever told me, and it was after one of my great games. Yep. Opening Sunday night against Buffalo, I went for 10 for $1.80. Steve Antonopoulos, who was an athletic trainer, said Mike wanted to see me after the meeting. I was player of the game, offensive player of the game. I went upstairs, Skip, and he told me, he said, I'll never accept anything in a win that I wouldn't have lost. Mm. There are some plays that he showed me that I wasn't giving my best effort.
Yep.
So he let me know, even though we won the game, even though you had 10 for $1.80, you're offensive player of the game. Had we lost, this is unacceptable.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not acceptable even though we won.
So you know why he loved this man from the start? Because he was a smart knucklehead, and he was also a talented knucklehead, right?
Yeah.
And those two things for Mike Shanahan.
Oh yeah,
he can work.
Yeah,
with that.
Yeah, he gonna talk. Yeah, he gonna talk to you because if he sees something in you, oh yeah, he can work with you. Yeah,
it's really interesting to hear your stories.
Yeah,
he
like
perspective.
Yeah. R84,
impressive,
get him going.
Guy. D'Angelo, thank you for being here. No mercy. So the Lakers were down 8 in the fourth quarter against the Spurs last night, but then LeBron took over. He finished with 42 points, including 20 in the fourth, and the Lakers came back to win. It was the fourth straight win for LA. And we're now joined by FS1 NBA analyst Chris Broussard. Chris, good morning.
Good morning.
It's great to be here.
That real talk.
It was a great morning for LeBron James.
We need that real.
Great.
Yep. For LeBron, for Shannon. Yep. But in your opinion, Chris, how impressive was his night?
I mean, obviously it was a great game. Skip, last night's game reminded me of Michael Jordan when he reached his highest level. You covered him a lot, right?
Yeah.
You remember when he was at his height, at his peak, the first three quarters, he would get everybody else involved, let everybody do their thing, you know, make sure the ball's moving. He would still get his points, but you know what I mean? He would kind of take a step back. Right. And then in the fourth quarter, when it was time to close, that was his role, and that's what he did. I thought that's what LeBron did last night. The first three quarters, the ball was moving. He was on the ball, off the ball, but when he was moving it quickly. Mm-hmm. Ball's moving, everybody's getting involved. Fourth quarter, he took over. It was, and I know after the game he said he hadn't seen the Kevin Durant story. We'll get to that later.
Yes, we
will.
But
it was almost like he was like, okay, I'm not going to get a superstar. Then I'm going to make these guys the best they can be, and I'm going to be the guy and carry this team. I'm not saying he was thinking that, but that's what it looked like to me and that mentality. Look, the 14 straight points to get them back on top in the fourth quarter. And what I also liked was that he was also passing the ball. I'm not even going to talk about the threes because we know he's a streaky three-point shooter.
When he
hits the threes, he did. When he gets rolling from three, he can be as streaky as anybody. But I loved with 3 minutes left when he's near the left block and he gets doubled and he swings it to Kuzma in the right corner and Kuzma swings it to Josh Hart and Hart hits the three-pointer that ties the game. I want to see more of that. I've been saying I want to see LeBron a little more in the post, drawing double teams and using his passing ability. And if they keep swinging the ball like that, they will get those wide open threes. We know he had two assists late in the game, two in the last 2 minutes. So, I mean, he completely took over that game, and it was Jordan-esque.
Yes, took it over.
Yes, I'm saying that.
But see, for me, the passing is unimportant because we know he can pass. Is whether or not they hit the shot. Because if they don't hit the shots, there are some people, some critics of LeBron will say, LeBron, you had 20 points. You got it going. Why would you let Josh Hart take that shot? Why would you let Kyle Kuzma take that shot? You're
that
the best player. You're the best player on the planet, right? That's what
somebody's being a LeBron apologist. Yeah, across from me.
Hey, yeah. LaShannon Sharp says LeBron.
That's a good he's right on the money with that.
Yeah.
If they miss those shots, he's getting criticized.
So this is what we like. This is what we wanted to see. We wanted to see him. Look, we know LeBron can close.
We do? I don't know that. I really don't.
See what I'm saying, Chris?
I saw seven games this year he should have closed. Silver platter closed this game and he couldn't do
it. But when he does close, there's always some criticism. When he closed the games in the playoffs last year, there was some criticism.
Did last night?
Last night when he closed, there's going to be criticism.
Did last night qualify as closing?
Yeah.
I'm asking because they won by 8 points, right?
I think he closed.
Okay.
Because they were down.
But were they down? So that's a 16-point swing.
Oh, okay.
So all
is it my turn to
go? No, it's not your turn. All I'm saying, it was virtuoso LeBron. That's LeBron at his best. I believe this is his best performance thus far in a Lakers uniform. And he's had some pretty good ones.
Wow.
The 51 against the Heat, the 44 against Portland. So he's had some very good performances. Mm-hmm. But this, in this moment, especially, you heard Magic and Kobe say, well, you know, the workload, we don't want to be. Guess what? Until these guys prove otherwise, they are Cleveland. Until they prove they can do it on a nightly basis, this is the Cleveland Cavaliers. Because we still don't know if B.I. can do it long term. We don't know if Kuzma and Lonzo can do it long term. So we're going to find out. I know what I'm going to get from LeBron.
You think he was sending a message to Magic and Kobe?
To everybody.
Oh.
I'm still that man. I'm still that man.
Lord
and while
Lord.
They might not want to come play with me, you either play with me or I walk over you.
So, I got two messages for you two. first message is for this man, okay, because his opinion on this belongs in Alcatraz. That's where it belongs. And to you, Jordan-esque. Yeah, there were nights when Michael and company just sleepwalked through some game against, I don't know, Orlando or somebody
or
at home. Charlotte. Let's take Charlotte. Although Charlotte in those in 98, they were really good. I don't even know who was bad, but let's do
that. Orlando had some years with
they
Shaq
had
and
some.
Penny. And
okay, whoever was bad that year, I don't know, maybe Detroit was bad
the
that
Nets.
Year.
Washington. Yeah,
the Nets, whoever. They would sleepwalk, and if Michael took the game over in the fourth quarter and they pulled away and won by 8, everybody yawned and shrugged and waited for the next Jordan performance because nobody threw a parade the next morning like somebody across from me did. Threw a parade because the opponent last night was simply, right now, the worst team in the NBA. No team is playing worse than the San Antonio Spurs. Coming into this game, this team had lost 3 out of 4 by an average of 35 points. Last night, the team known for defense, perennially the number one defensive team in pro basketball, gave up 43 points in the fourth quarter of a close game. That has never happened in Greg Popovich's 23 years as coach of this team. That had never happened. They did give up 46 points in one fourth quarter in a game they were already getting blown out in. And I know it well because it was in 2013 and it was Damian Lillard in Portland. And they just said, you guys can have it. Keep making threes. And Damian and company, they made 6 out of 8 in the fourth quarter and just pulled away and blew them out by 30 points. This was actually a close game all the way down to the 2-minute mark, right? Because the Spurs were somehow ahead by 8 with, what, 8 minutes to go? Really? That was shameful on the part of LeBron and the Lakers. They should have done this in the first quarter or the second quarter. Remember, the Spurs had a dreadful game the night before at Utah and had to play the dreaded back-to-back on the road in the West, right? It's dreaded because your legs are going to be shot in the fourth quarter, probably, but you're already a bad defensive team because they're horrendously bad. And I don't know, something is going really wrong within this team because they've either tuned out the old head coach or they're just giving up on the old head coach, or maybe he's getting exposed because he doesn't have Duncan and Ginobili and Parker anymore.
Well, I was going to say, look, first of all, you didn't expect them to keep losing by 30. We could make the argument that if after getting pounded in their last 3 losses, they're going to come out with an inspired performance and try to just get back on the wagon. So
they were horrible. I watched every dribble of this game, and
DeRozan wasn't horrible.
Rudy Gay wasn't horrible.
Rudy Gay, I mean,
are you kidding? Don't bring him up. Quit. You're banned from using that man's name on this show.
Rudy Gay had his moments, though. He had his moments.
They were horrendous. They throw the ball away.
They have 2 perennial all-stars. DeMar DeRozan and LaMarcus Aldridge. I don't know if you've ever said it, but I wouldn't be surprised if you have. Arguably, Greg Popovich is the greatest NBA coach ever. Have you ever said that?
Nope.
Okay, but he's arguably.
Yeah. I'll take Larry Brown any day, but that's just me.
But that's who LeBron did this against. You can't compare them to the Nets or to Charlotte way back in the day. They got one of the greatest coaches ever and 2 perennial All-Stars.
How do you lose 3 games in a week by an average of 35? That's wrong.
It's bad.
You know what's wrong?
Number 2 is gone.
What?
Say what?
Hey, Skip, baby, you know what? You know why you never seen Michael Jordan do this? Because in year 16, he was home with his feet up. That's why he couldn't do this, what this man's doing. We've never seen anything like it.
You know, we haven't seen anything like Michael Jordan.
No, stop it.
6 for 6 in the finals with 6 MVPs. Have you ever seen anything like that, Shannon? Thank you for bringing that up. Is it my turn? Never seen anything like that. In the fourth quarter,
he was 7 of 8, 3 for 3 from the 3-point line, 3 assists, 0 turnovers, 1 steal.
You skipped over a category.
He was 3 for 6.
3 for 6 from the free throw line? He missed 3 free throws in the fourth quarter? What? He's only shooting 71% now?
Where did he hit that 3?
Where did you bet me?
Something to work on.
Yeah,
you bet me 80%. You want to concede?
That's just like, you know what it's killed?
You want to concede? I'll let you concede. You know what? I'll let you out of the case if you'll concede right now.
No, I will never concede.
You know they're on a 51 win pace.
Who?
And that's the Lakers.
No, I agree.
With the 2 and 5.
Well, I get my due.
Mr. Broussard, I told you before the year, remember we made our predictions? I said San Antonio will not make the playoffs, and you were like, what? No.
I'm still not going to totally write them off.
I'm writing them off.
Season.
And by the way,
the best defensive point guard in basketball was going to be DeJounte Murray. He's 6 feet, 5 inches tall. He's long and quick and got a little nasty streak in him, and he blew his knee up, and he is gone for the whole year.
Was he going to guard LeBron?
I don't know. He could probably try a little bit. No. I don't think anybody can guard LeBron.
Exactly.
LeBron could have had 30 in the first quarter.
Nah, we don't need that.
But he was being like Jordan, getting the other guys involved. So Kuzma has a big night.
But if you're going to gloat about it, if you're going to throw parades across the table about it, save that for Golden State. No. Save it for Denver.
You know why there were no parades when Jordan was playing like this? Because Undisputed didn't exist. That's right. You'd have been sitting there in the Jordan jersey. Yeah, exactly.
I would have said, I would have said, we don't need to talk about that game. Let's go to the next one.
Hold on. Time out. Jordan ain't played in 20 years. This man wear Jordans every day, and he gonna talk about me of throwing a parade.
Yep.
You know. Oh, wow.
So
that old school?
Fancy.
Yeah, so you want to talk about me and LeBron.
You're talking about a lot of shoes on this show.
Yeah, they call them.
They are simply the greatest sneakers in the history of sneakers.
Yeah, we're not debating that.
I'm just saying.
Okay. No debate.
And LeBron is simply the greatest basketball player.
Why didn't LeBron have the classic sneaker?
He got them.
Oh, he did. I haven't seen it.
You see them 16?
Thank you for joining us. No mercy. There's a lot of speculation here in L.A. that the Lakers will get LeBron a superstar sidekick next year, and it could be Kevin Durant. But according to KD, there might be a lot of players that do not want to play with him. KD explained, saying, he has so many fanboys in the media, even the beat writers just fawn over him. I'm like, we're playing basketball here, and it's not even about basketball at certain points. So I get why anyone wouldn't want to be in that environment, because it's toxic, especially when the attention is BS attention, fluff. It's not LeBron's fault at all. It's just the fact you have so many groupies in the media that love to hang on every word. Just get out of the way and let us play basketball. We are joined once again by Chris Broussard. Mm. So that quote is, there's a lot of layers.
I took that personally, but I didn't.
What is your reaction to it?
Well, I've heard the theories, the reverse psychology, the smoke screen, maybe KD's coming. To me, this says he's not coming. We can forget him joining the Lakers. Now, LeBron would take him. LeBron went back to Dan Gilbert, Tyson Chandler, Rajon Rondo, Lance Stephenson, they were all rivals with LeBron at one point in time.
Rondo still don't speak to Ray Allen because he joined
in
Miami, exactly. But guess what he do?
Exactly. So LeBron would I think, be able to forgive and forget, move on and all this. But I don't think KD is going there. I think these comments are out of bounds, rooted in jealousy, because KD doesn't like the way the media has treated him. But I would say, KD, the criticism's the burner account.
Yeah.
Because you told a fan, shut the heck up. Mm-hmm. That's what you criticized for. For him to say it's a toxic environment around LeBron, I think he was trying to come off like, I'm not being critical of LeBron. I don't want to come off as criticizing LeBron. So let me put it on the media. Because you say it's BS, all the stuff off basketball is BS. No. The reason LeBron James gets praised is because he built a school in Akron for at-risk youth. It's because he set his childhood friends up to be business moguls. It's because he has these kids in Akron going to the University of Akron on free scholarships. It's because he got his teammates to all wear hoodies in Miami in honor of Trayvon Martin. It's because he made a powerful documentary called Shut Up and Dribble. But that's why LeBron's praised. It's not BS why he gets praised, or fluff, to use Durant's words. And I would say, on top of the praise LeBron gets, he is without question the most scrutinized player in NBA history.
History!
Skip, you know, every single day we critique his every mannerism, his every mood, his every tweet, his every shot, his every pass. Mm. Even when Durant and LeBron were sitting next to each other in a car with Kerry Champion at the other network, and they both criticized Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. Who did Laura Ingraham go off on? LeBron James. Just shut up and dribble. I don't even know if she mentioned Kevin Durant's name. So don't, it's LeBron, yeah, he gets a lot of praise, but he also gets a lot of criticism. And this is why I say Durant didn't want to just come out and kill LeBron when that really might have been in his heart. Because if there is a toxic environment around LeBron and his teams, it is not because of the fanboys and the beat writers and all that. It is because LeBron kind of forces the franchise to bend to his will, whether it's the coaches, the front office, or whatever. And that, and then his cryptic tweets and Instagram posts and stuff like that. If it's toxic, that's why. It's not because of the beat writers. So if you want to say it's a toxic environment around LeBron, say that. Don't just hide behind, I'm blaming the media. Say LeBron sends out those crazy tweets and the, you know, the owners and the GMs, they bend to his will. Say that.
And he, Chris, he's talking like LeBron is a bum. He's talking like LeBron is just a guy and they be hyping him up and he ain't all that. He's just the best player in the NBA. Granted.
I think Kevin thinks he's the best.
No, Kevin. I do agree with that. And that's fine. He should think that.
Mm-hmm. But everybody knows it. Everybody knows.
Well, not everybody. Everybody
knows. Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do.
Don't
you
put me in everybody.
You know that.
I don't.
You know that. Because you know why you know that? Because when Steph Curry was out, they went 7-7.
Right.
That's why you know that. Mm. If he's that guy.
That's right.
If he's the guy that you said he is.
You're overlooking the fact he got attacked by one of his teammates.
I don't care. They attacked.
LeBron gets attacked every day by everybody. Mm-hmm.
He had a serpent in his own house.
Did he?
Yeah, for the last year he was in Cleveland.
Really?
Then Chris Broussard. All the while. Oh, I'd be foolish not to learn from the best player in the NBA. This guy he's unfreaking believable. He just put up a triple-double in the finals. Mm-hmm. Who does that? And all the while he plotting, scheming.
I don't know who you're talking
about.
You
know who I'm talking about.
Could it be?
He's scheming all alone trying to get up out of there.
Is that how he sounds?
No, I don't know. Worry about it, though. Look, Kevin Durant, you need to understand. You're never going to be normal again. So you talk about you just want to play basketball. You're never, ever going to be able to just play basketball. Mm-hmm. That's not going to happen. There's an expectation that comes along with you when you're great. Mm-hmm. And when you don't play well, you're going to get criticized. Mm-hmm. Because guess what? Even when you were at OKC, you kind of got a pass, KD. Mm-hmm. You lost to LeBron. It's like, well, that was LeBron James, and everything was okay. Mm-hmm. And then when you let him come back, you had Golden State down 3-1. It's like, well, that's kind of okay. You let them come. If that had been LeBron James,
right?
Let a team come back from 3-1. Oh, my goodness. And guess what? Even when he was in OKC, everybody knew KD was the best player on the team. Mm. He goes to Golden State. Even though it's Steph's team, 90% of the people believe that he's the best player. Mm. Link up with 2-3 from Akron. It's unquestioned.
I think
you're
making Kevin's point. You are.
I didn't got no problem with that. That's okay. I get it. I believe the reason why superstars, Magic didn't want to play with Bird didn't want to play with Magic, and Jordan didn't want to play with either. Because everybody got to sacrifice. Because everybody ain't going to get their 20 shots a night. And, you know, we sacrifice, you know. Skip, you know me. I ain't got no problem being in the catbird. I sit over here and let you do all the drive. Let Skip do all
you
the
drive.
I'm cool with that.
Some of his basketball comments did have substance to them.
Yeah. I mean,
he's right, like Kyle Korver, a role player like that. You know, LeBron gets you open looks. That made sense.
Yes.
You know, and then other guys that want to dominate the ball, that makes sense. But this stuff, fanboy.
I loved what Kevin Durant said.
Of course you did.
He was emboldened by the fact that he beat LeBron head-to-head, and I realize Kevin had a lot more help, but he was the MVP of the finals two straight years, and twice in a row in Game 3 in the King's house, he stuck it to him. He hit the shot of shots 2 years ago that won the finals, turned it all around in Game 3, and then last year he just took over Game 3 and won another MVP. So he was speaking to Rick Bucher from a position of strength. And he called out LeBron by calling out his media apologist. And I think there's much truth to what Kevin said, because I've said for 15 years that LeBron James is the most protected superstar in NBA history, probably in sports history, because I don't know a more protected one. I don't know one with more, if you want to call them fanboys or groupies or apologists or protectors or whatever they are. Shannon asked me earlier in the show, find me, show me one where, what'd you say? You said LeBron has a lot of haters in the media.
Yeah.
And I said, show me one, because I don't know a hater unless I'm called the
Chris.
Hater.
My partner, Rob Parker, I would call him that too.
Yeah, that's one. So,
and okay. I won't even say hater. Yeah. But you guys hold LeBron to the highest standard. That's what I would say.
And then when he does something good, they say, well, who did he do it against?
I mean, Skip, he just scored 42 points, 20 in the fourth, and you criticize him because of three free throws.
And
LeShannon, so I'm just saying
LeShannon
y'all
threw a parade this morning.
What happened?
Over beating a team that had lost three of the last four by 35 points on average. That's horrific. You're overreacting, and you keep leaping to the conclusion that he's better than Michael Jordan, and you just can't. That's what's happened with all the apologists.
But don't you think most people still, including me, have Michael Jordan ahead of LeBron?
I don't think
LeBron's going to pass him.
Yeah. Here's the thing.
you're objective about that.
I'm objective,
and I don't know many who are.
What about me?
Well, you're not objective.
Okay. This is what rubs Kevin Durant. This is what rubs him. LeBron James has not won a regular season MVP in 5 years. LeBron James hadn't won a finals MVP in 2 years. But when you ask the general managers, who's the best player in the NBA, who gets the votes, Chris Broussard?
Right, LeBron. And you know what else you just said? You just said a mouthful. I hadn't even thought about it. Guess who votes for MVP? The media.
Mm-hmm.
These LeBron fanboys. Yeah. I mean, seriously, if it was just a bunch of fanboys, he'd be winning MVP.
Kevin lives in a glass house here. He's constantly attacking, biting the hand that has fed him an MVP.
Even after he won the MVP, he called me next year at the All-Star game. Y'all don't know bleep.
But remember.
But they just voted you MVP.
But remember, big picture, Kevin is saying that the same apologists who will defend LeBron to a fault will also attack his co-star if things go wrong for that team, for the Lakers or for Cleveland. So he's saying, in effect, between the lines, that number two in Toronto doesn't want any part of this, or Paul George or Jimmy Butler don't want any part of this, because if it goes south, they're going to take the brunt of the blame, because you have to defend LeBron. Well, it can't be LeBron's fault because he's the best player on the planet. He's better than Michael Jordan.
Hold on. Before we go, hold on. When Kevin Durant left OKC, who did they blame? His co-star, Russell Westbrook. Russell, it's your fault that Kevin Durant left.
I didn't get that at all.
I didn't. Hold on, Skip Bayless. You said you reported it. You was ahead of the curve on this. Mm-hmm. You said Kevin Durant was going to leave because he didn't like playing with Russ.
Okay, he didn't like it that the whole franchise made Russ 1 and he was 1A. The man for the Oklahoma City Thunder was Russell Westbrook.
Well, who got blamed for Kevin Durant leaving? Was it the franchise or Russell
Westbrook?
Westbrook
took a lot of blame.
Yeah.
Okay. That's
a lot of blame.
So what are you talking about?
And LeBron, got more criticism. Even if you compare him going to Miami, Durant going to Golden State, most people would say it was worse to go to Golden State if you use that terminology.
Yeah.
But LeBron got criticized more for going to Miami than Durant did for going to Golden State.
That is true.
By these fanboys. KD's criticism is because he had a burner account and what he told that fan. It's stuff you do yourself. LeBron just hasn't put himself in positions like that.
And it's going to be hard for people to forget that, because the burner account, it's like there's always stories.
And you used it to criticize your former team.
And it's now hard for me to see Kevin and LeBron being teammates.
Okay.
I agree with that.
This adds to it.
We'll be all right.
Chris, appreciate your time. Good to get your take on this. No mercy.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. We're back at the same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. See you then.
Facts, sports, one of one.